Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of Our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. That's right. Every week we do Journey with Mary to some country where she has appeared around the world. And that might be a new thought for many people if you're just tuning in for the first time. But, hey, I knew nothing about this 11 years ago as I was a Methodist becoming Catholic. And suddenly all this new information was available to me. Interesting thing, though, as I delved into it and studied it and researched it, I didn't realize that I went far beyond what many Catholics had studied, where they knew about five or six apparitions. I studied 100 of them. And you might think, well, John, that's an awful lot. But when you realize that there are close to 2,600 on record, and that's just the ones on record as having happened over the last 2,000 years, obviously a lot's going on. And, of course, the church is very careful about approving things. It's not that they don't say supernatural things don't happen, but they want to make sure it's not coming from Satan. They want to make sure it's coming from heaven and that it truly is of, you know, Jesus and the Blessed Mary and not of something wicked or evil. So they take their time very carefully to approve such things. And the problem here is that there's no consistent, there's consistent elements that they look at, but it depends on the local bishop to make the determination. Because if the Vatican approved and it was left to them to just determine every single apparition of those 2,600, that's all they would be doing. I mean, they took a good 3 to 4 years just to review Medjugorje information. And that's just one out of 2,600. So obviously they would never get anything else done. And so therefore they leave it to the local bishop. And sometimes if it's a well-known or in the news type of series of events, the Vatican may decide to chime in and add their vote of confidence too. But they don't have to. By law, it is the local bishop that decides. But therein lies another problem. The local bishops all over the world have many different viewpoints and backgrounds and histories, and sometimes they have a nice investigative committee of scientists and theologians and psychologists like they did in Medjugorje, or they have nobody, and it's just a personal decision by the bishop. So it can vary quite a bit. And the thing that people need to understand is because the church takes its time to approve these appearances, it could be anywhere from 1 month, as happened in Egypt, or 346 years, as one case in France. Okay, that's quite a difference, 1 month and 346 years to get approval. So I did a little statistical analysis of my 100 that I've studied, and the average length of time for approval was 53 years, average length of time. So if you've heard of an apparition in the last 20, 30 years, you might think, well, be a bad one because we haven't heard anything. Well, if you remember, the average time for approval is 53 years. There's going to be a lot of them you're not going to have a final word on yet. And that confuses a lot of people. They think, well, if it's not immediately approved, it must be condemned. It must be bad. It must be something wrong with it. And they're missing the point. The church is very careful. A lot of times they take a, quote, wait-and-see attitude. Because sometimes there's prophecies or predictions made, and, you know, they want to see if they'll come true. Because that would validate. For example, with Kibeho, Rwanda, which we just went through not too long ago, you know, there was a major prediction there of some ghastly event that's going to take place. Well, sure enough, about 8 years later, the genocide in Rwanda happened just as Mary predicted. And with that prediction coming true, oh, the Vatican immediately jumped on this case and gave it full approval because, you know, that was very impressive and the predictions did come true. So, you know, that's just one example. With Garibaldi, that's been confusing people since the early 60s when it took place. And the thing there, there never was anything negative about Garibaldi. In fact, it's got so many fascinating aspects to it. A lot of research, a lot of evidence, a lot of video and other types of proof. Many interesting stories regarding that series. And finally, 20 years later in the early 80s, the investigating committee, the top guy, the top expert on it, admitted that he lied, admitted that he didn't look at some of the evidence, admitted that he had misled people with his claim that there was nothing to it. He was ashamed of himself, and he came forth publicly, admitted that it needed to be reviewed because he actually believed it was on the level of Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe. He said that, the main expert about Garibaldi. Why he did what he did, who knows. But he came forth 20 years later and admitted that. And again, there was nothing negative, and so it's up to the local bishops and everything. And, you know, they continue to review, but they've kind of taken that wait-and-see attitude with Garibaldi, not because there's anything negative, but because, you know, there were some prophecies and predictions and messages that were pretty pointed, and they kind of wait to see if any of that comes true. But they clearly say there's nothing negative about it. They just are in that wait-and-see. Hopefully it won't take 300 years to approve. And, you know, it sounds ridiculous until you realize that there are some that have taken that long, some 100 years, some 200 years. In fact, Champion, Wisconsin happened in 1859 in Wisconsin near Green Bay. It didn't get approval till 2010. So if you were waiting for that one, you'd probably be dead. So, again, I guess what I'm saying is please don't jump to conclusions about any apparitions which aren't approved yet. It's a very careful, lengthy process, and just because it hasn't been fully approved or something, then, you know, it doesn't mean that it's bad or evil or condemned or anything like that, because people are quick to claim that, and that's not fair because it's still being reviewed. They have different levels of approval. There's traditional approval, which is like Guadalupe. There was enough evidence, but there was no official committee or anything back in 1531. So, you know, by tradition, it was approved. Same with Zaragoza in 40 AD. There certainly was no committee back then, but by tradition and by the evidence, it received what we call traditional approval. Then there's implicit approval, which is what you see with Medjugorje right now. That is when the church gets involved. In this case, the Vatican has sent an envoy, Archbishop Henry Hoser from Poland, to oversee activities because it is deemed there were positive things going on there. And so the first week of apparitions was approved by a 13-1 committee decision after almost 4 years of study. And so implicit approval means that the church is positive, it is involved, it is overseeing things, and it is moving towards what will eventually probably be full approval. In fact, just recently they expanded their approval of the activities by authorizing construction of more cover for outdoor pilgrims who can't fit in the church so that they aren't rained on or snowed on or something, and that they've expanded the church's grounds and its buildings. So it wouldn't happen if this was condemned or baloney or something like that. So you have to look at the facts. You have to look at reality, and you have to understand the approval process. So I brought this up because I've heard recent controversy about things being condemned because they aren't approved. Well, that just isn't the way it works. You know, a lot of times many things are just awaiting approval, period. That's all. Nothing wrong. If there are any questions, they're just kind of waiting and seeing how some things go before they give the final approval. And the church is never in a hurry. If it took 346 years for one approval, and, you know, with Wisconsin, 151 years, obviously they're just making sure. And it's okay. It's okay. We'd rather they be careful, but we mustn't jump to conclusions that there's something wrong. And that's what many people are doing. And I just, they do that with Garabandal, they do it with Medjugorje, they do it with other things, and they just need to really look at the truth. So I know I got on a spiel about that, but it needed to be said. And, you know, we hadn't had a chance to really get into that very much recently. But joining me tonight on our team is Mike from New Jersey and Kathy from the tastiest city in Missouri, Bourbon, Missouri. How are you, Kathy?
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. I got a little bit of the laryngitis today.
Oh, well, we're just glad you're with us. It's okay. We won't wear you out.
Okay.
Is it true? Is it true, though, that you're the tastiest city in Missouri?
We got an old-time water tower sitting out there by the interstate that says bourbon on it. We got a lot of bourbon here.
Does your town of Bourbon have a Bourbon Street?
No, we got our main street is called Pine Street.
It's called what?
Oh, okay.
Pine Street. It's the only street I actually know the name of. It's a teeny little town.
There is a spigot on the water tower for those who want to taste.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, how are you faring out there in the wintry East Coast?
Well, we just about got rid of all the snow. So don't send us any more.
Oh, we are. We're done with ours, and we're sending the rest to you. So.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like it much. We get dumped on every now and then, and then we send it your way. So good luck with that. And, friends, Donald is recovering nicely. He's listening in tonight and, you know, and enjoying our show with us. He's still waiting doctor approval for joining back into activities and writings and all those things that he does so well. But he's with us and doing well, and so we continue to pray for his recovery and have all cylinders firing 1,000%, because we don't want him blowing a spark plug or something or a fuse. So we want him tuned up and ready to go like a fine Ferrari, right? So
In the meantime, Don, enjoy listening to what to how we exercise what you've taught us.
There you go. We're well trained now, aren't we? Oh, the training wheels are off and we're rolling on our own. So tonight, gang, we're going to San Nicolas, Argentina, down in South America. And this all started in 1983. And San Nicolas, of course, you might say is Spanish for Saint Nick or Saint Nicholas. Anyway, and they have a beautiful statue of Mary with a huge wooden rosary hanging on her arm. It's a beautiful statue. You could look it up online. Mike, you're probably looking at it on the internet there, but a wonderful statue of Mary. This all began 1983 and lasted through roughly 1990. Began with the visionary whose name was Gladys Quiroga de Mata, and she was 46 years old. It all began on September 25th, 1983, and Gladys was thinking about the approaching spring weather, probably like we are, when she noticed her rosary beads were glowing like molten steel. Ah, I bet that's happened in Medjugorje and some other places. We talk about rosary beads doing interesting things. Well, hers started glowing like molten steel, so immediately she ran to get her neighbors to come see this. And they did. They saw the glowing rosary beads also. And word spread, and many groups started praying the rosary daily because of that. As Gladys knelt privately one day in her bedroom to pray, the Blessed Virgin was instantly in front of her. Oh, guys, that would just flip me out if that happened when I'm praying the rosary and Mary just shows up right in front of me. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that, Kathy or Mike? Oh, my goodness.
Well, Scotty couldn't beam her that fast.
That's right. But God could. Oh,
after,
my goodness.
After all, before he got the term energized, he get halfway through it, she'd already be there.
That's right. So her face was radiant and beautiful, as we always hear, radiant and beautiful. Her whole figure was glowing with light. She wore a blue gown and veil. In her arms was the baby Jesus and a large rosary. Mary only smiled at her, never speaking, at least not yet. And then, as suddenly as she had appeared, she vanished. Gladys was stunned, thrilled, and making sure that she was really wide awake. Yeah, I would wonder too, but she was wide awake. When Mary appeared to Gladys on October 7th, 1983, Gladys finally asked her what she wanted me to do. Her image faded away, and an image of a chapel appeared. And Gladys said, I understood that she wanted to be among us. As the silent apparitions continued over several weeks, it was the sixth visit on October 13th. There's a key date, October 13th, when Mary finally spoke to Gladys. Quote, you have been faithful. Do not be afraid. Come to see me. You will walk hand in my hand, and you will travel a long road. Unquote. Wow, what an invitation. And the famous phrase, do not be afraid, it appears 365 times in the Bible. And here Mary is saying, be not afraid. So, by mid-November, apparitions of Mary were happening every day. Gladys tried to write down every word that she heard from Mary. On November 17th, Gladys actually sprinkled holy water of Mary. By the way, this happened in Medjugorje, too. Vishka actually threw holy water at Mary to make sure she wasn't a demon. And the holy water just stopped in midair and then just fell silently. It just stopped in midair. And Mary smiled at Vishka in Medjugorje and said, no need to be afraid of me. Okay, so in this case, the Virgin responded to Gladys and said, glorious days await you. You will rejoice in me, my beloved child. Well, Our Lady was requesting that a church be built. Obviously, from the image she presented, that was one of her wishes. And that comes up probably 80% of the time when Mary appears. There's some hint of wanting a church built in the area or a shrine or some kind of, indication of coming to see Jesus. And on the evening of November 24th, Gladys and a small group had walked to the location where Mary had stated that she wanted a church. As that group stood there, a powerful shaft of light pierced the darkness and struck the soil. And it's interesting, the only other witness in this group who saw that was a 9-year-old girl. So Gladys, the visionary, and the one child, a 9-year-old girl, saw this powerful shaft of light hit the soil where heaven wanted this church built. I guess that's pretty clear, isn't it? What do you think, guys?
I go back to where Mary said, glorious days await you. You will rejoice in me, my beloved children. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, they said, Lord, we have left all, we've left everything behind and followed you. What's in it for us? And he said, and Jesus said some very positive things, but then he added in, the term persecution. I don't see that here. Why?
Well, sometimes he does tell the visionaries they're going to have a rough time. And I'm not so sure that Gladys really had a rough time, not like some of them did. So Mary always seems to know what they're going to face. And I don't think Gladys had much of a rough time. I think she had pretty good support. On November 26th, just 2 days later, Gladys asked Mary if she would like to be called Mary of the Rosary of San Nicholas. And Mary replied, quote, be so. My wish is to be among you, to cover you with blessings, with peace, with joy, and bring you close to the Lord, our God. Read Colossians 3:15, 4:15, and 2 Corinthians 4. Well, that's what she said. She has done that a few times where she's referred to Bible verses. I don't have those looked up right now, but I will say that again. It's Colossians 3:15, Colossians 4:15, and 2 Corinthians 4. So if anyone does look that up, you can let me know. In the meantime, on November 27th, our Mother Mary referred to Exodus 25, verse 8, which read, quote, they shall make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell in their midst, unquote. Well, that's perfect. Here she wants a church built, and she quotes the Bible verse, which talks about it. That's pretty cool. The significance of this passage is that it contains the instructions given by God to the Israelites for building the Ark of the Covenant, by means of which Yahweh would be present to them. The New Testament and the early church had consistently understood Mary to be the new Ark of the Covenant, who was the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit and the bearer of the Son. The Virgin was restating this ancient teaching. Any reactions, comments? All right, I'll move on. Here's a message from December 12th, 1983. Mary says, quote, Father, deliver us from all evil. With your holy wisdom, Lord, save us from all sin. In the name of all those who love you, Lord, lead us on the right road. Amen. And then she says, read Proverbs 2. Verses 1 through 11. And then she says, he who says this prayer during 9 consecutive days together with a rosary will receive a very special grace from me. Again, that's Proverbs 2, 1 through 11, verses 1 through 11. He who says this prayer during 9 consecutive days together with a rosary will receive a very special grace from me. All right. Here's a message from December 27th, that first year of 1983. Quote, all humanity is contaminated. It does not know what it wants. And it is the evil one's chance, but he will not be the winner. Christ Jesus will win the great battle, my daughter. You must not let yourselves be surprised, but you must be alert. For this reason, daughter, I ask for so much prayer, so much obedience to God. I say this for the whole world, unquote. Yeah, she has said that in a number of other places where she gives a message, but she indicates it's not just for Argentina, it's for the entire world, that they need more prayer, more obedience to God, to be alert. Evil is out there. It lurks, but have no fear. Christ will win the great battle. But certainly humanity is contaminated, as she says. Any reactions to that one?
Well, John, Padre Pio is quoted as saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Satan can fool the most brilliant human mind.
Oh, sure. Sure. Because he knows our weaknesses. He knows our points of entry, you might say, where he knows how to get under our skin. He knows how to distract us and maybe pull us off track, maybe a lot, maybe just briefly, but still he works at it. And that's why we do have to be strong and pray and be close to God and have blessed objects and all of that to try to stay in connection with God. By the way, I was doing some writing this week and I made a connection between the invisible connection that we have with God, similar to the invisible connection we have with the cloud, you know, the iCloud, the internet, and people are really upset when they lose that connection with the internet. Oh, they're just furious if they lose their internet connection. Are they as furious when they lose their invisible connection with God? There's a thought. Yeah, you can believe in one, but not the other.
Yeah, there's one difference. There's one difference, John.
Yeah.
If you lose your connection, your invisible connection with God, you don't have to scramble around your desk for a number for tech support.
Yeah. And someone says, well, I can just Google anything I need. I don't need God. I can just Google it. And I told that person, I said, yes, but Google only tells you what man knows. It doesn't tell you what God knows or how God works. And they said, oh. Oh, I tell you. All right. Any other remarks? Okay. Well, moving on. And a message from December 29th, 1983. Mary says, quote, speak of my messages. You cannot hide them. It is your Father's will. He would not ask for something that cannot be done, nor say something that could not be spoken of. And then she says, read Matthew 10, verses 26 through 28. Verses 32, 33, and Mark 7, verses 14 through 16. So I don't have those up, but you can check them out. Again, Matthew 10, 26 through 28, 32 through 33, and Mark 7, 14 through 16. Here's a message from January 8th, 1984, quote, Mary says, at these moments, all humanity is hanging by a thread. If the thread breaks, many will be those who do not reach salvation. Hurry, because time is running out. unquote. Now, given that was 38 years ago, 38 years ago, and time's running out, 38 years ago, we should be a little worried. We don't know what heaven's time is. Is it a couple hundred years? Is it another decade? I mean, who knows? But it makes you think. Here's another one, a message from January 15th, 1984. Quote, my children, do not disobey Christ Jesus, for his pure heart suffers if he sees you sin. The Lord wants you to be as perfect as you can be. He does not want anyone to fall into worldly temptations. My daughter, today, open your heart to your neighbor. Make this known, for it is my will and that of your Father. Amen. And then she says, read 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6, and 17. That's 1 John 2, 3 through 6, and 17. All right. It's nice that, you know, it's interesting because when Donald is on here, he often has those biblical references. And I guess Mary knew that Donald wasn't going to be on tonight because she's giving us all the biblical references that pertain to her messages. How about that? That's kind of funny. However, this happened in 1984, so I don't think it had to do with tonight. But just ironic. She's providing the biblical references that match her messages. Nice to see her do that. Here's a message from February 25th, 1984. Quote, the Lord will answer those who repent for their bad behavior. The Lord says, repent and I will forgive you. The enemy will not advance. The hand of God our Father will stop him. When the time comes, he will uproot all evil, purify you, and you will become good Christians. Glory be to heaven, unquote. All right. Any comments on that one? That's kind of a neat, positive one about things coming. Any reactions? You're all so quiet tonight. I know, Kathy's got laryngitis, so we're giving her a break. And Mike's working hard. All right. Here's a message from April 12th, 1984. Quote, in other places where I have appeared, the Lord has been present. My children, without the hand of God, nothing is possible. I make you listen to things that you had listened to before but did not practice. Now the Lord gives you a new chance. The answer is in you. Amen, amen. And then she says, read 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19. That's 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19. All right. Moving on, we have a message from May 7th, 1984. Blessed are those who love peace, because war brings total destruction. It is horrifying to see that men cannot restrain their impulse of ambition and power. They do not know how to see where the true sense of life is that can lead them to complete happiness. Only God can achieve it, and only God has the power of making it possible, unquote. You guys can just stop me at any time if you have a comment. We have another message from June 18th, 1984. Quote, those who offend Christ Jesus are like those who scourged him and crucified him. That is how he feels it. He suffers offenses and injustices so intensely. Remember that the God who gives life is the same one who will comfort your sorrow and will grant you the joy of life everlasting. Amen, amen. During 1984, Gladys suffered a painful stigmata with bloody wounds on her wrists, symbolizing the crucifixion on certain days of the week. In November of 1984, Gladys met the new bishop of San Nicolas, Domingo Salvador Castagna, who in turn then met with Pope John Paul II to discuss this phenomenon. By December 2nd, Mary told her, quote, "I want people to know that I'm coming into the world. You must strike a medal with my image and my words, Mary of the Rosary of San Nicolas. And on the reverse side, the Holy Trinity with seven stars that would represent the seven graces that Jesus would grant to those who wear the medal," unquote. I think I've seen that medal. It's not very common, but I have seen it. There's a message from December 20th, 1984. Quote, "People are unaware of the poison that the evil one places in them, and they let themselves be tempted. Today, they continue to crucify Christ with that behavior. That is why the Lord is instructing his children." Then on January 11th,
all you have to do, John, is take one look at what's happening in the United States of America.
Yep.
You can see the truth of that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yet this is 1985 now. Still, you know, 37 years ago. So here's January 11th. Quote, "Tears burn my eyes when I see such coldness in those that I try to save, because I know that if they do not convert themselves, they will go to death." Then her message from June 13th, 1985. "What value prayer has for the Lord, you cannot imagine. My children, that is why I ask for so much prayer. Say the Holy Rosary, meditating. I assure you that your prayers will rise like a true song of love to the Lord." Boy, everyone that prays should read that one. I'm going to read that again. I just think that's so beautiful about the whole act of praying. Mary says, quote, "What value prayer has for the Lord, you cannot imagine. My children, that is why I ask for so much prayer. Say the Holy Rosary, meditating. I assure you that your prayers will rise like a true song of love to the Lord." I think that's just beautiful. Here's a message from February 28th, 1986. You may ask yourselves, quote, "Can the Lord forgive those who forget his existence?" I tell you, yes, my children, the Lord can because of his great mercy. But do not take excessive advantage of God's kindness. Cling to my mantle strongly, for it will cleanse you and present you pure before the Lord. Glory be to the most holy of heaven and the earth. And then she says, read Isaiah 29, verses 18 through 19 and 30. Oh, I'm sorry. And then chapter 30. Verses 18 and 21. I'll say that again. Isaiah 29, verses 18 to 19. Then Isaiah 30, verses 18 and 21. So again, she's doing her biblical references that match her messages. So nice of her to do that for us. And here's her message from March 7th, 1986. "Daughter, the prince of evil pours out his venom today with all his might because he sees that his sorry reign is ending. Little is left to him. His end is near." Amen, amen. By May 25th, 1986, the metal that Mary had described had finally been created, produced, and was now being spread into circulation, just as the Virgin had requested. That was 1986. Then on October 11th, 1986, Mary says, quote, "My daughter, the evil one is triumphant now, it is true, but it is a victory that will last briefly. The Lord is only giving him time, the same time he gives man, for him to return to God. That is why vices and worldly madness increase every day. The weaknesses will have to become strengths, and in this way, we'll be able to get rid of evil. As yet, man's heart is not totally invaded. Glory be to God." Then on February 6, 1987, Mary says, "My daughter, in this time, I am the ark for all your brethren. I am the ark of peace, the ark of salvation, the ark where my children must enter if they wish to live in the kingdom of God. There is no obstacle for this mother, and there will be none for the children." On April 11th, 1987, Bishop Castagna meets again with Pope John Paul II and promises that he will direct a study of the phenomenon happening in San Nicolas, Argentina. Her message now on May 10th, 1987, quote, "Do not expect everything from God if you do nothing for him. Awaken and return to the Lord." That's a good one. Quit expecting everything from God if you're not doing anything for him. That's a really good message. Here's one on September 21st, 1987. "My dear daughter, how sadly lost youth is. Drug addiction and easy life is the picture that the evil one has set for the young. Sin, committed in very different ways, makes them stray further and further from God. If only they turn their eyes toward the Mother of God, the Mother will make them find God again. If only they penetrate the Mother's heart, will they be able to hear the Lord's voice." Then on October 13th, again, that special date, Fatima date, October 13th, 1987, the building of the church sanctuary that Mary desired began. Then the next year, March 21st, 1988, Gladys reports having a vision in which she sees the earth divided into two parts. One part represents two-thirds, and the other part equals one-third. She sees the Blessed Virgin in the smaller part. Our Lady then responds to Gladys, quote, and this is a very important message, folks. Mary said, quote, "You are seeing the world half destroyed. These rays of light are sent from my heart, which wants to save as many hearts as it can. My heart is all powerful, but it can do nothing if hearts are unwilling. It means to save souls. The means to save souls are prayer and conversion." And then she adds, "Every soul must prepare so as to not be imprisoned eternally by darkness," which means going to hell. Mm-hmm. By the way, that two-thirds dying and one-third being saved, that's pretty much what many of the messages have said about the cleansing of the world, that two-thirds, the sinful part of the world, will be wiped and one-third, the faithful, will remain. So she was showing Gladys that image of that happening. Then here's a message from Good Friday, April 1st, 1988. "My daughter, it was the blows that started his suffering, then the thorns, the nails, the lance. It was so painful for me to see him suffer. Today, it is the sins, the hurtful words, the atheism. Yes, again they are crucifying him. And again, my heart bleeds." Here's a message from December 8th, 1988. In these times of so much confusion and so little light in souls, my most pure light will be the one to guide you in the midst of so much darkness. Many are the children who do not admit that the mother is the mediator before the son. Many resist going to the son through the mother. I tell all mankind, I will help you to overcome every uncertainty. This mother will make your encounter with the son possible. For this, it is necessary to become little like a child and abandon yourself in my heart. I assure you, do not doubt. Preach it, daughter. Glory be to heaven. Another way of saying that she's an intercessor. Don't forget to take advantage of that to reach Jesus, to go through Mary. Here's a message from December 10th, 1988. It is not mankind who is abandoned by God, but God who is abandoned by mankind. Very powerful. Here's a message from February 17th, 1989. Quote, now the world must know that the mother of Christ will overcome Satan, because by her side will be her son's humble ones, unquote. In a message from February 28, 1989, for these times the Lord has marked a sign, the woman clothed with the sun. She is the hope that the children must grasp. The mother has set her eyes on you, set her eyes and your heart on God. Interesting that she quoted from Revelations there. The woman clothed with the sun. Here's a message from May 13th, 1989, the Fatima first apparition date, May 13th. Quote, my daughter, as previously in Fatima, today my visits are renewed on earth. They are more frequent and more prolonged because humanity is passing through very dramatic times. Has mankind not understood that they must be uniquely at the service of God? If they resist, their souls are going to perish. Many hearts do not accept my invitation to prayer and conversion. That is why the work of the devil is growing and expanding. My dear children, it is only through prayer and conversion that you will return to God. May he not find your hearts dry. Wow, that's powerful. Any comments? All right, moving on. May 24th, 1989. Quote, my children, I am the door of heaven and the help on earth. December 7th, 1989. My children, my son has charged me with a mission to be the guide of the souls who truly want to reach him. Preach it. Gladys received 68 messages from Jesus. Here is one from December 30th, 1989. Nine. Quote, before the world was saved by means of Noah's ark, today the ark is my mother. This is from Jesus now. Through her, souls will be saved because she will bring them toward me. He who rejects my mother rejects me. Many are letting the grace of God pass by in these days. Boy, a lot of people ought to hear that one. He who rejects my mother rejects me. Whew. I tell you, that needs to be heard. All right, so all in all, Gladys wrote down every one of 1,816 messages given to her by our Blessed Mother Mary. Now, I did not read that many, but that's how many she wrote down. Gladys could hardly read or write before the apparitions began, but she was able to document the many messages she received with great clarity and precision. Quote, my children, I ask you for prayers for a soul who is not praying and decreases in love of God. Let no one pretend to be agreeable to God if he is far from God. I ask for prayers and the conversion of hearts. Gladys, pray for my errant children. Pray so that each heart will permit the love of my son to enter, so that rebellion may cease. Now, there was news of a miracle healing of a 7-year-old boy on his deathbed, detailed how his pregnant mother's desperate prayers were answered. His paralysis ceased, and an egg-shaped brain tumor began shrinking away to nothing over 3 weeks. He had been given his first communion moments before his healing began. I'll say that again. He had been given his first communion moments before his healing began. The messages and visits ended on February 11, 1990. A commission of priests, psychologists, scholarly theologians, and psychiatrists declared that Gladys and her messages were authentic. Healings were both supernatural and real, and her mental state was balanced, healthy, and free of hallucinations. Bishop Castagna approved the apparitions and began accompanying a monthly procession on the 25th of each month, often accompanied by as many as 100,000 people. Let me say that again. Bishop Castagna approved the apparitions and began accompanying a monthly procession on the 25th, often accompanied by as many as 100,000 people. That's more than the Super Bowl. That's a lot of people in a procession. And finally, in 2008, a magnificent new church was completed on the 25th anniversary of the first apparition, and 200,000 people attended and passed through it within 24 hours to see it and its new beautiful wooden statue of Our Lady of the Rosary. And on my website, divinemysteries.info, that's divinemysteries.info, you click on the Mary image and then click on Table of Contents and then go to South America, Argentina, click on San Nicolas, and you can see all the photos related to this story of Gladys and the beautiful statue with the very large rosary that she holds. And that concludes our story. There were a lot of powerful messages in there. And folks, that is so consistent with so many messages that we've heard from other places like Garabandal and El Escorial, Spain, and just different ones throughout, even Cabejo, Rwanda. It's just we've heard so many of these messages from Medjugorje as well and other sites. So that just, when you have such consistency of messages, that brings reality to it all. Otherwise, you'd have 1,000 different directions and all sorts of fantastic claims and different ideas and no consistency. But here again, the powerful emphasis on prayer and conversion and getting back to Jesus and interceding through Mary, you know, just all sorts of very important messages, getting back to our faith and not letting the devil get into our souls and trick us and deceive us and distract us away from our path. All right, so with that, we'll go back to our team here and see if they have any final comments tonight. Mike and Kathy, I know you're out there. Any final comments?
Oh, we're here.
Yeah, good.
What'd you think of those messages? They're pretty powerful.
Yeah. They were very good. In 2 years, it'll be a 40-year anniversary.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, another good series of apparitions and messages. And I also heard that in 2016 they had a even, I think it was a Vatican approval of the messages. I have to look that up, but I know you heard that they were approved back then, but that they also, in 2016, I heard they had further approval of them. So as powerful as they were, it's nice to hear that the approval process, again, continues as they always take a closer look and more details, and they put more approval on different things as they study them and see things come true. So let's talk about next week real quick. We are going, drum roll, da-da-da-da-da, where are we going, where are we going? We are going to Petania, Venezuela, which would be Bethany, but in Spanish, Betania, Venezuela in 1984. And I tell you what, that's a really awesome one. Hey, folks, that's the one where the three atheists are, and they didn't even believe in her. So it should be a very interesting series. And we'll be there, I know, several weeks. There's a lot of messages and a lot of things that happened there. They had Eucharistic miracle. They had so much going on there. So that'll be a good trip. Pack your bags for Venezuela. That's where we will be next week. And starting in 1984. All right. Well, it's that time. So thank you, Mike, and thank you, Kathy. And let your voice heal up. I'm glad you just listened, but thank you for being here because I wanted you to hear all those messages, and I'm so glad you were here to take it all in. And thank you, Mike, as always. And Donald, we know you're listening, and thank you for your support and your founding of this program, because none of us would be here and none of this would be getting out there if it weren't for Donald Hartley. So as I say, our worldwide rosary, or not rosary, but Hail Mary for all of our prayers. Make sure to include Donald Hartley and any of your loved ones for their healing and good health. And with that, I'll say goodnight to our team, and we will have our Hail Mary, which I say for the whole world to join in. We want all our voices to be one in unison around the world, no matter what time zone or day it is, that all our voices will be together, rising up to heaven, making heaven smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you for joining in tonight, and we will see you all next Sunday as we head for Venezuela. Good night, everyone.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.